Earlier in the week, Coach Bobby Bowden diagnosed with COVID-19. Thought we'd take a moment and recall a conversation we had with Coach Bowden here a couple of years back. I think you'll enjoy that. We've got Kerry Post also with us in the first hour talking about Tallahassee's brand. And then Mark Mustian of Word of South Festival talking about its impetus. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
Glad you're with me again for this momentous occasion as we bring together folks from around our community and from various times. It's been our pleasure over the last several months to dig into our history a bit. We are now in our ninth year. It'll be 10 years in February of 2021. Remarkable. I don't know. Are we supposed to do something special for our 10th anniversary, Carl? Maybe get some engraved keychains what do you think? Maybe a nice mug giveaway? No? I don't need any more thumb drives. My goodness, I got a whole drawer full of those guys. Yeah, that's no good. Well, whatever. Maybe we'll just do some bumper stickers. 10 years of the Moose. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, the show that is dedicated to all things Tallahassee. And in our history, our 9+ years, we're fortunate to have people like Mark Mustian and Kerry Post and Coach Bobby Bowden. Last week we had Jack Headley and Christian Hubicki from the School of Engineering. Remarkable it is that so many of these people that you and I get to have conversation with, you and I sitting by as we hear from them, their take on why we're here and what we're all about, what we're worth. Remember, those are the three most pinnacle questions to be asked, any of us should ask of ourselves, and it seems to me that it's ongoing. We should never stop asking who we are, why we're here, and what we're worth. That is to say, what are we supposed to do with what we've been given? And is that somehow static over time? I don't think so. I think we are intended to reinvent, right? So, you know, if necessity is the mother of invention, then reinvention is the necessity of life. It seems to me that we find ourselves even in this community having to question a bit of where we've been and where we are now, where we want to go. And it's an interesting process, I think, especially in terms of remembering and forgetting. And there's a lot of misunderstanding, maybe, and confusion about those terms, and more importantly, what it is for us our human experience that draws us to a place in time. Somebody said that time is a river that flows backward from where we are. An interesting metaphor. If we think about those events that have occurred, either in our lives or our friends, our families, for this community, looking back, there is time constantly in flow. So at this moment that has just passed, there's no way to recapture this moment or this moment. And every moment that passes, we're looking backward. And it's remarkable to me that so much of our effort individually and collectively is spent looking back. We look in that rearview mirror constantly to see where we've been. I think I've told you this. When I first arrived in Tallahassee, 1978, and I mean, I thought I'd gone back in time. Coming from the Pacific Northwest, growing up in the greater Seattle area, and a town that was known for its advancements and, you know, kind of forward thinking. Boeing had its headquarters there and had for many decades. Microsoft eventually. A lot of innovation going on in a community like that. Whereas here, the innovation seemed to be even not only hard to come by, it was unwelcome. I remember coming across so many people in business and in community leadership, various positions of leadership, who resisted the idea that Tallahassee had to change at all. People who had for generations been holding on to their land and their little circle of friends and clubs and a perspective on how life should be, how it was meant to be, at least for Tallahassee. And so the notion that one would take opportunity to look forward was really just a kind of, I don't know, sort of unnecessary endeavor. Just didn't seem like it really was of any great value. And those who did tend to assess where we were at the time, and again, this is, you know, 3 or 4 decades ago, but let's say in the 80s, being a doctoral student at Florida State in sociology, and here I was looking to make my contribution in the social research and family studies, family counseling, all these things that were sort of part of my forecast personally. You know, none of that seemed to resonate much with the people that I met in business and in community leadership. And I met a lot of folks, people in business who would talk about how their family went back 9 generations. Hugh Davis. Any of you remember Hugh Davis? Davis Trophies? Yeah. He used to talk about how you could never mention Abraham Lincoln at family gatherings. He said, you know, if my grandmother hears you even mention his name, you're in for a fight. And he said sort of tongue-in-cheek, you know, she's still fighting the Civil War. Well, there is that business, I guess, of recall, but the word forget really means something else that I think we miss. You know, to remember means to relive, not just recall, but to relive it. And so we're constantly reliving those moments in our history, whereas to forget means to let go. It's not that you somehow, you know, it's not amnesia. It's not that it's not in your mind, but it's that your focus is on leaving it in the past. You know, if at that time, and for many years, Springtime Tallahassee was the festival. That was a festival focused entirely on the past. Kind of recounting for us how valuable we are to the world and to one another. And again, sort of affirming among those who were the powerful, the landholders, you know, the guardians of the culture of the time, with all kinds of celebration about the past. So here we have in the first hour, Kerry Post, Executive Director for Visit Tallahassee, in which we're going to talk about Tallahassee's future, rooted in who we are and where we are now. Kerry helps us better analyze and better appreciate our future for those of us who are looking forward to the new Tallahassee.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We have with us Coach Bobby Bowden, and thank you for joining us, Coach.
It's good to be here. Looking forward to answering your questions.
If I remember, years ago, you compared football to the game of life, and I wondered if you would comment on that. How the game of life plays out in many respects the way football does.
Well, the game of life, like football and like a lot of other things, they have rules and regulations that you have to follow. You have some people that break those rules. You have most of the people who do not break them, you know. And in life, you get knocked down and you got to get up. Well, in football, you get knocked down too and you got to get up. And then of course you're in the limelight. People are watching you all the time. People are judging you all the time. And you have being the head football coach at Florida State, you have a responsibility to the people of Tallahassee and to the people of Florida State and to the alumni of Florida State to try to set the example for them.
When you talk with a player or a coach, you bring your faith in God to that conversation.
I tell you what, when I started, I coached 57 years in college. I coached 34 years at Florida State University. Now, I know it's because of the way I was raised. I had a good mama and a good daddy, you know, and a good family who they taught me the right things. I didn't always do them, but I tried, you know. So when I started coaching, I felt like when I coached a young man, I wanted him to be the best athlete he could be. I wanted to make him the best athlete we could. I wanted him to get an education, you know.
Yeah.
But I also wanted him to be aware of our faith, whatever his is.
Yeah.
And I would tell him mine. I said, look, y'all don't have to believe like I'm telling you. But I've got a right to teach you if I want to,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I had that responsibility to every man I coached, you know.
Yeah. And so many of them have come back to you or have stayed close to you as friends and colleagues in all of those 50-plus years.
Can't tell you how many. I can't tell you how many. It's funny. I get letters from boys I coached 50 years ago. Boys I coached 40 years ago, 30 years ago. And you know what? None of them mention football. None of them mention football. They say, Coach, thank you for what you told us about this. Thank you for making us go to church. I'm now married, and I've got two grown children in college, and they're doing well, and they're behaving themselves and everything. And they can't say thank you enough.
Wow. Speaking of football and that approach in working with people, right? It's my observation that, of course, across college football today, there is a pretty wide variety, we might say, of coaching styles.
Yeah,
there are many coaches that follow your lead, and one of his assistant coaches saying, "Hey, we don't like a lot of profanity there on the sidelines. We don't go there."
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
And so already there's that sort of experience happening for those young men.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I remember. You know, football has changed so much in the 57 years that I coached. When I first started coaching football, it was all physical.
Yeah.
And you would talk to your boys about hating the opponent.
Huh.
I can remember one game out here at Florida State. It's been 25, 30 years ago. We were warming up against this team. I won't call their name. We were warming up against this team before the ball game.
Yeah.
And I was carrying on a conversation of one of their players who I had tried to recruit. Kind of like, well, how you doing? I hadn't seen you in a while.
Yeah.
So forth. And his coach came up and said, quit talking to him. Quit talking to him. You know, it made us break up the conversation. You know? But, you know, it's changed a lot since then.
Yeah. Yeah.
We found out it's not hate.
No.
It's love. If you want good teamwork and you want to help your buddy all you can, it gets down to how much you love him.
It's remarkable how many athletes will say at the end of the game, well, we just love each other. I mean, and that goes across basketball, baseball, football. They all talk, man, we are a team. We love each other. We've got each other's back.
And you know, they say the same thing's true in the military.
Hmm.
And I can see this.
Yeah.
A guy goes into war. And he knows he might get killed because a battle is fixing to occur. There's an enemy out there about 50 yards away, and he knows he can get killed. That his bravery comes from not wanting to let his buddy down. More than if they don't think about the stars and stripes. They don't think about mom and daddy back home. They think about their buddy right there.
Yeah.
By them, you know?
Yep.
That's love, and that's teamwork, and that's what it takes to succeed.
Trusting.
And a football team has to take that same attitude. You know what?
Huh.
I'm going to block my man because I don't want them to hit my running back there, you know?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to block my man because I know he's going to get his, and we're going to succeed. And so, we do it for our buddy.
You talked about the things that you learned from your parents.
Yeah.
You've, no doubt, you and Ann have worked hard to try to instill that in your own family.
Mm-hmm.
From your standpoint, what were the things that you tried to teach your kids, most of all, would you say?
My mother and daddy started off with church. They start off with the church. Now, I don't remember the first day I went to church, but my mama told me that she carried me to church in a basket when I was born. I can imagine her doing that too, you know. But then I grew up 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age, and always mother and daddy made us go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever they opened the doors, you know. And of course, being a kid, I didn't want to own to do something else, you know. But anyway, that they gave me the foundation that I've tried to carry with my family. We went to church too, you know, and especially when they were all young. Now they all married and got their own family. But we tried to. Here's something that, you know, I used to get letters when I was head coach.
Right.
I'd get letters from mothers all over the country, really, because they knew what I was trying to teach.
Mm.
And it'd be a letter like this: "Dear Coach, I'm raising a 15-year-old son. He's playing football at the high school. What can I tell him to make him successful?" I got that letter a lot. I got that phone call a lot. I'd tell them the same thing, just like I was taught. I'd say, "You tell your son to get his priorities in order." "What do you mean?" "Well, you tell him to put God first in his life. Put his family second. Not football third.
Mm.
Education.
Mm.
And then other people. Put them ahead of yourself, you know." And then
right.
then comes football and music and baseball and other things you want to do in life, you know what?
Uh-huh.
But be sure to put God first.
Simple wisdom. So a bit of Bobby Bowden from a couple of years back talking about his view of the world of life and football in Tallahassee. Stay with me, folks. I've got Carrie Post coming up here right after this break.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557. More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So if you think about how much and in so many ways the Tallahassee has progressed, we'll say, certainly has changed. I think it's progressive. So we have with us this morning Carrie Post, and she is the executive director for Visit Tallahassee, subtitled Leon County Tourism Division. But the point is that Visit Tallahassee has taken up this responsibility. They are charged with this task of helping us understand better who we are and then helping all of us share that across the way. So let's welcome Carrie Post to the broadcast. How are you this morning?
Very well, Brian. Thank you so much for inviting me to be with you today.
On a chilly day in February, here we are, huddled around our warm little microphones, talking about things that are critical, not just to tourism proper. Seems to me the stuff that you folks are doing at your offices and with all of the contacts that you have across the state and across the world, really, is vital to our way of life. It's vital to our economy. I think it's vital to our sense of well-being. I mean, to be able to take pride in one's home is a big thing, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you spend a great deal of time, it seems to me, and money, blood, sweat, and tears, trying to get that to happen for us. And I have to say, I think you're doing a good job. If I may embarrass you a little bit, I think that when I listen to the work, hear about the work you've done, and I listen to you as a team, Lauren particularly, talk about, you know, the vision, the plan. I hear your mission statement. It's different than when I got here. I mean, 1978, I arrived in Tallahassee. What I hear you folks talking about is quite different than that. It's a different approach, it seems to me.
It absolutely is. And since I've joined the organization as executive director, it's been now about a year and a half. And I am blessed with a great team, and I truly have challenged all of them. And they have not only risen, they've exceeded the challenge of exactly that, of this is a new destination. You know, I mean, it's so much has evolved. I mean, with anything, but when I look back to where Tallahassee was even 3 and 5 years ago to where it is today, you know, it's continually evolving. It's very dynamic, and so is our marketing of the destination. And so we are taking different approaches, and we have a lot more diversity of product to highlight. When I say product, really is so much. It's all the experiences,
yeah,
exactly, and what makes us special and unique is just continuing to expand and evolve. And so it's a very, very exciting time to be marketing Tallahassee, but also what is different, and again, this is something of focus and emphasis that I brought, was also communicating exactly to your point to locals, you know, as to because there are such a breadth of folks here, you know, that were born and raised, and then there's, you know, you and I were talking about this previously, and there's new folks coming to the community that have a different perspective and bringing in a different energy.
Yeah.
And we're having, you know, the folks that have been here, the kind of the statesmen of the, you know, the area with the new energy and the innovators, and having everybody work together has really created some palpable, again, products, so to speak, but partnerships and relationships, and certainly in how we're promoting the destination. So it's a very, very exciting time.
I've taken a look, as you have, I'm sure that you probably spend many of your hours looking at census data, because of course we know
I love data.
You're a numbers person and you're a data hound. So you crunch those numbers and you look at the last census, 2010, and all of those projections for the region, right? Let's talk about the Big Bend region or the Tallahassee-Thomasville MSA, right? SMA, sorry. Standard Metropolitan Statistical Area.
MSA.
I said it right the first time. Mm-hmm. So in that capacity, if you're taking a sort of casual look at that, in-migration is remarkable.
Tremendous.
The projections are showing us just exactly what you've described. You have people coming from all parts of the country and the world.
Indeed.
Who are moving in with new ideas and innovation and curiosity. And one of the most troubling questions, of course, is why do you do it that way? Because when we challenge that status quo, some of us kind of ruffle our feathers a bit, don't we?
It's true. I mean, I think that's good. I've always been a believer. You need to challenge longstanding, long-held beliefs, and always be looking ahead and innovating.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those people that welcome, you know, that kind of perspective. But indeed, there are others that this is the way we've always done it, and you know. So
part of that is most troubling to you when you hear from Ben? I'm sure you do. We all do. Or maybe you don't hear it, but you recognize there's a kind of resistance to that change. What bothers you most about that?
I don't know. That's a tricky thing. To me, it's an opportunity to educate and enlighten. That's kind of how I take it. I'm a very tenacious person.
So you see it as an intellectual challenge.
There's clearly, these are, you know, if they're intelligent people, they just need to know there's a whole lot more than what they currently know.
So you're optimistic
right now,
rather than pessimistic.
I am. Yeah. I am. You can definitely put me in the optimist camp. And I also look at ways of how to be, and I say this as kind of like a word du jour, but disruptive in the sense that if you can communicate with people and connect outside of, say, a normal situation where their tendency is to behave the same way they've always done it, if there's another setting, you can have a different type of interaction. Sometimes it can be a more well-received message. So I'm always, again, looking for those opportunities to expand information or talk about an angle that maybe perhaps somebody hadn't thought of before, and then they'll go, you know, I hadn't thought about it that way. And so it makes it...
Do you see yourself in that capacity as ED, as your primary role? Is that or at least a big part of what you do?
I wouldn't say primary, but I'd say that is what is one of the things that when I came in is educating locals, because what makes a difference too is how we see ourselves as Tallahasseans, you know, the locals, because a third of our visitors that come to town stay with friends and family. So it is so important of what our residents think. And there hasn't really been, I mean, we worked together with KCCI over the past year and really trying to amplify the iHeart Tally and trying to get more residents engaged. Yes. But it does boil down to really, again, and kind of bringing it back around, also getting our residents to realize so much of Tallahassee has changed. And coming up with ideas, and we're cooking up some things for, you know, May, that to try to encourage residents, if you haven't been down to College Town, go check it out. You haven't been to South Monroe, to SoMo, go to Midtown, you know, go out and explore your own backyard, because so much has changed. And everybody, and it's human nature, you get in your small world of, you know, you got to work, got to dry cleaner, you know, whatever, and your grocery store. But to really try to educate locals on truly what we have here. And again, residents are clearly ambassadors when it comes to hosting visitors in the community and inviting people here and then inviting them back and make sure they have a great time.
You know, that makes a lot of sense to me. If you've got 250,000 people living in Leon County, roughly speaking, and, you know, even half of those people are well-informed, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of resource that otherwise would be beyond the scope of any agency, certainly what Visit Tallahassee can do in a day's time. So we need to be mobilized, don't we?
Absolutely, and it's a continuous process. It's not just a one-and-done. You know, it has to be a multi-pronged approach. And particularly, like, I'll use an example for trails. We've had two trailheads open in the last 2 weeks. And we have over 600 miles of incredible trails. And I love it when I tell my friends and particularly colleagues, you know, in other destination marketing organizations, even outside of Florida, but even in Florida, when I say we have great mountain biking. And they're like, you're in Florida.
You don't have to Haven't you ever heard of Mount Dora?
But I said, we have great
We have hills.
Exactly.
That's right.
We have seven hills.
Right.
And but from a trail standpoint, but I'm not even sure a lot of our residents know that. And here we are beating the drum and trying to let people know from, you know, that we do have all these great, you know, sports and recreational opportunities on all these trails. But we need to make sure our residents are aware as well.
She's the executive director for Visit Tallahassee. Our guest this morning, Carrie Post. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Carrie Post, Visit Tallahassee, who in her role as the executive director, you don't get a whole lot of time off, do you? You're like
24/7, 365.
Tracking you down, girl, is like trying to contain a hurricane. It's tough.
Yeah, but it's all part working. It's all
but you
working,
love it.
Playing. Exactly.
This is what you signed up for.
That's exactly right.
And part of that is your role as an advocate on behalf of all of us when it comes to times like these, when we're in session, the Florida State Legislature. So you're there to do what? What's your role as advocate for?
Well, really to educate and inform, and tourism right now is a hot topic up there. You hear a lot about Airbnb and home sharing, vacation rentals. That's a big part. I mean, certainly we have a number of products here. There's Airbnb is now a big part of our destination lodging, which you would say 5 years ago wasn't, but there's legislation there that's pending. And so our job is really to educate. The county has lobbyists. I mean, certainly I've gone to meet with legislators and gone before committee, let our Tourist Development Council be aware of the issues and how it impacts us. You know, what would happen if, you know, under this scenario.
Right.
And so that's a big one. There's clearly on transparency and accountability is a big item, of course, with all government right now.
Yeah.
And tourism is one that is of high focus. And we are different tourism offices. There are, I believe, 62 tourism offices in the state of Florida of the 67 counties. And they can be run, set up different ways. They're not all set up the same. We, for example, are a division of county government. So we're very transparent. We're accountable. All of our contracts are online. Mm. You know, all of everything is all
sunshine.
Recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And but some aren't. Some are not. They're nonprofits that are set up that have a contract with the county to run their tourism.
Uh-huh.
And so, again, they're kind of a little different animal, but they're trying to get some standardization. So everybody is transparent and accountable. Mm. So, again, we educate and enlighten. So this has been a very active session. Session is good for us from a, you know, from a standpoint of I love seeing downtown just hopping with activity and, you know, all of our restaurants and our hotels. But there's obviously substantive issues that not only are affecting our industry, but clearly all of our residents and that impact or could potentially impact not only Leon County, but the state of Florida.
I found it curious that the governor earlier last year was campaigning on behalf of tourism. Mm-hmm. And tell me about that. Where the impetus for that? I mean, tourism is huge.
Tourism is the number one industry in the state of Florida.
In Florida.
And it generates the largest share of sales tax, which is what makes up the state and local budgets, or not just, or but a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
So it's the largest industry in Florida. Visit Florida is the state tourism office, whereas mm-hmm. we're a local county tourism office.
Sure.
There's the state tourism office.
And you have experience at that level because you worked
with
Visit Florida.
When Visit Florida first was created, yeah. I was with the organization for 11 years. So yes, I'm very familiar, although it's a very different organization now than what it was when I was
there. That must give you
a
little bit of advantage, I would think, in that you kind of know how things work, let's say, from the top down.
Absolutely.
But in any case.
Yes. It's good to have that insight. Yeah. And again, that's where my role, again, is to also help educate and inform, because I can share perspective.
Interesting.
From that organization, from a state level, from a local level, and how they work together, how they differ. Ultimately, it would be great when you have these evangelists, and you can probably put me in that camp. And not just because of my job, I love Tallahassee, but I know there are so many people that love Tallahassee too that they could do it, that they're advocating.
See, that's interesting, because if I didn't see you doing this, I'd think of you as like a televangelist. we'd set you up in Texas somewhere.
But I am a promoter by nature, but I'm passionate about the area we live in. I mean, I'm a second generation native Floridian, so I'm all about it. But I think we need more people. And I think we're getting there. That truly do.
What makes you think so? What tells you, hey, we're making progress?
I'd say there's more. I see more of the creative energy. I see more collaborative approaches. I mean, in this
people
contentious world, exactly. But in many ways, I do see people coming together and working together. And here in Tallahassee, for the betterment of the area, betterment of business, you know, all that. But I see an energy there, and people there that I'd not that seen historically.
So there's a change in the population, right?
Yes, that's a contributing factor, no doubt.
And we've talked about that in terms of in-migration, and the universities are a big part of that.
Absolutely.
But so are local businesses, and some of the industries that we've been able to welcome. To me, a family is recognized best by what the family celebrates. You know, how they do you put up lights on your house? Do you take off for a vacation? I mean, how do you celebrate life? And I think that's changed. I think we have more festivals now.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And the community can really rally behind and get involved in. And to your point, we have different cultural festivals. You know, the Asia Festival is now growing. I mean, there are some just, again, it's, but just all your, from a community celebration of events, yes, there's a lot
All right, happening. Pull out your crystal ball for a moment. Tell me where we're going to be in 5 years. What do you see happening?
Exciting.
A lot of building going on.
I see, the community, I see a very dynamic, thriving, growing, because I think we're at a precipice right now of I see more of the community coming together. Mm. We're now, I mean, we've got these great districts, but I think we'll get, you know, more collaboration, more energy.
Cross-pollination.
Yes, thank you. That's the word I'm getting at. I think we're going to see a lot more of that in technology, you know, the schools. But I do see definitely more of an openness and a willingness of, hey, we're all in this together. Mm. How can we work together, you know, from the universities to even some of the local governments to the, you know, the artist community, a lot more collaboration and energy. So I think we're at a really great jumping off point. I think we're at a great place now, but I think we're going to be zooming ahead in 5 years.
Well, I'm grateful to have your input, and I'm even more grateful that you are where you are. And on behalf of all of us, thank you for you and your team and what you're doing, because it It isn't just showing up and, you know, punching in. It's like you said, a 24/7. Mm-hmm. I happen to know that from talking to some of those people.
We all love this place, but and there's and I think probably nowadays too, there's no such thing as 9 to 5. And all the people that mm-hmm. work in my shop, we truly care about this destination.
It's a very cool thing. Carrie Post, our guest this morning. Carrie, thank you for making this happen for us, keeping us excited and focused. And go back to work now and make more magic things happen for us, okay? And try to get some more restaurants. We need more restaurants, don't you think?
We've got a lot of great restaurants. And yeah, there's one I'll put a plug in for us. And I'm there is the Hawthorne.
Yeah.
I keep hearing great buzz about it.
I've heard some great things about
the Hawthorne. So that's now on my target list.
I just want more varieties of burgers. That's all I'm asking. I just need it to come to me in more ways. There's just not enough versions of the hamburger for me. Yeah. I think we're up to about 237.
I was just going to say.
I mean, but no, we can keep going on that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can never overdo.
It means a lot.
All right, friend. Carrie Post is our guest. You stay with me. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. On another wonderful day in the month of September, when in fact we have the opportunity to consider all things happening about us, being that this is 2020, many of the festivals that we normally would be looking forward to, not likely to happen. I think that's already been established. Yeah, so, and I'm sure Rick Oppenheim is mourning sackcloth and ashes about the fact that Greek Food Festival is just not happening, as far as I know. Sorry, Rick. And sorry to all of us who enjoy such festivity and celebration. Yeah. It's going to be tough. Even when it comes to looking forward, as we've already established in today's show, we're really taking time to consider that future. And by having Mark Mustian with us in this second hour, get to hear the story, a little bit of the story behind what gave rise to a new festival, part of the new Tallahassee identity, that being Word of South and his inspiration for such. We'll get to learn more about him when we have him here in just a moment or two. And a part of that new Tallahassee includes new leaders, and we've got a bunch of them, and some that are making bid in this election year. Got a notice here from Bill Shack. Before I get to that, I want to tell you that the Board of County Commission meeting will happen this coming Tuesday, the 13th. And it's scheduled in the afternoon, 3 p.m., on a virtual platform. And that'll also be broadcasting on a Comcast Channel 16, or if you're on the Prism cable network, go to Channel 16, so yes, also 16, or if it's in HD on Prism, you go to 1016, okay? So have I thoroughly confused you? So Comcast, Channel 16, or Prism, either one. Leon County, Florida Channel on Roku, all kinds of platforms here. Or you can go to the county's Facebook page, or you can go to the YouTube channel and the county's website. So kudos to our friends there over at the county offices trying to make it easier. If you want to view the agenda, you can go to this address. Let's see here. Where is it? Okay, so you go to leoncountyfl.gov. And then you go to co-admin agenda. And these are separated by the forward slash. So you got co-admin agenda / book and then / 2010-13. That would be the date, I suppose, right? Right. Anyway, so you've got opportunity there to tune in, be informed, be a part of that conversation as our county leaders go about the business of helping us chart the path that will represent arguably the next 2 or 3 years and some big issues at hand, not the least of which is this Children's Services Council. It's being tossed around pretty vigorously. It involves a pretty sizable price tag for you and I in terms of taxation. And it's being, you know, questioned as to the value of the dollar, the benefits, you know, return on investment sort of issues. Bill Shack running for City Commission seat 2, and he's sent us a little notice here. He says, you know, as a student at FSU, I lived in Tallahassee. I'm a business professional, and I see the daily struggles of our residents and want to help solve them. And he's aimed at a few topics of concern, and particularly a new city manager. He has issued his concerns about Mr. Goad, and he's insistent upon being more accountable with money, especially those who have special interests that are influencing their decision. And another point for him regards affordable housing. He says, I believe in increasing affordable housing with the use of city funds. And his fourth item here regards mental health and human services. He says, after working for the homeless every day for the past 5 years, I've come to realize that our city does not nearly provide enough for our most vulnerable. So all of that by way of Bill Shack running for Tallahassee City Commission seat 2 against the incumbent Curtis Richardson. Let's see, what else have I got for you here in the time remaining? I want to get out of the way here because I've got Mark Mustian in his conversation regarding Word of South. News from the county regarding services related to COVID-19. There's a new drive-up mobile testing site at the Northeast Branch Library, Thomasville Road, 5513 Thomasville. Sunday, October 11th from 2 to 5. It's open to patients of all ages, both symptomatic and asymptomatic. This is a drive-up testing site. No appointment necessary, but you do need to wear a mask. If you want more information, you can contact the Neighborhood Medical Center. Here's the number, local area, 224-2469. Let's see what else we got going on here. As of September 25th, I think everybody knows this, Governor DeSantis signed Executive Order 20-244 that places all of Florida into Phase 3 of the COVID-19 recovery plan effective immediately. You can go and actually check that out online with the county. Find out what's actually in that particular order from the governor. Remember, too, the county is operating their Leon Cares program that provides local assistance to individuals, businesses, human service agencies impacted by COVID-19. Eligibility requirements and your application available to submit for assistance is available online. LeonCountyCares.com is the website. Got that? LeonCountyCares.com. And among other things that we care about, we want to make sure that you are prepared for severe weather throughout the year because, of course, and you can all say this with me, staying prepared is not a season. It's an attitude. We get worried about hurricane season with good reason. But well beyond that, for the other, let's say, nine months of the year, we deal with thunderstorms and potential flooding, high temps and low temps, and lightning abound. Talk to the good folks over there at TPD, TFD, sorry, or both. Tallahassee Fire Department folks will tell you that lightning strikes are a huge problem regarding house fires and other wildfires and such. So, yeah, so if it's all about staying prepared, well, you got to take assessment then of how you've prepared your family, your business. Things like knowing a good tree surgeon, somebody who can come in and take a tree out before it falls on your house. Well, Tallahassee Prepared has those service professionals assembled for you. We've gone about the business of looking into how they do business, and based on public reviews. I mean, frankly, we look at those people who are just highly prized for their work, whether electrical, removal folks, land clearing, even asphalt contractors and plumbers and glass, tile. All of these providers are local business people who then themselves know what it means to stay prepared and help you do so in your own particular family or your particular business. So that's good, right? Tallahassee Prepared is the website. Go to TallahasseePrepared.com. Brought to you this year, our presenting sponsor, Tallahassee Family Magazine. Stay with me.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
So we're here, we're talking with Mark Mustian. He is an amazing individual, if you'll allow me to say so, as if he's not sitting here next to me, at the risk of embarrassing him in that comment. But I do think a remarkable person who served the city of Tallahassee for 9 years as a city commissioner. He has gone on to contribute in so many other ways as an author. He is an attorney here in Tallahassee practicing law. We'll talk with him about his law practice as well at some point. And then of late, I guess because he just got bored, you know, he has nothing to do with himself. And so he came up with this idea of Word of South. And we're going to get into talking about Word of South and what it did for us in this year and what it may be doing for several years. There's lots of that up ahead as well. And so we're going to find out all that we can from this interesting man. Mark Mustian is our guest. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks.
So have I thoroughly embarrassed you now in front of everybody?
I'm all right.
You're used to being praised for your greatness.
Well, you know, it's happy for anybody to say anything nice about me. So
you'll take it.
That's right.
Because you don't know when you might get a next.
Exactly.
It helps to balance the scale.
Exactly.
Then again, thinking of scales and balances, like balance sheets and balanced budgets, we're faced now with this proposed, which looks like an inevitable tax increase, a property tax hike coming through the city of Tallahassee. What's your take on all that?
Well, I have kind of mixed feelings about it. I mean, I've thought for a long time, since the very first days of being a city commissioner, that the city really can't run and provide the services it provides at the prior millage level of 3.7 mils. And if you look around the state of cities of any size, we're about at the bottom. You know, most cities are, you know, 5.5 and a lot higher in terms of millage. Mm. And so, so I always thought that we either need to scale way back on what we do, or raise taxes, or do some of both. Mm. And so, I'm not surprised that this got to this point. I'm not, you know, discouraged, although I would have favored maybe cutting some stuff and maybe doing not doing some things that we do now. It's a very hard thing to do.
Mm. In fact, some of those cuts have only been announced in the last few days here, where I think there was $600,000 allocated for the
police force. They have cameras, you know, vest cameras, and they've decided to take that off the list. So now it seems as though they're trying to scramble in getting some of those cuts that you're talking about. It's for those of us who are less informed, and that probably represents a good number of folks, in terms of how the city pays for itself and pays for its employees and services, the utilities represents a significant contribution to that.
Right.
What would be a good estimate there as to the degree to which our utility fees are making up that revenue? Is it like half or two-thirds? Or
I just remember the dollar amount that flows over from the utilities as a whole, and it's in the $30 million range a year that is kind of taken off the top and used to fund general city services. So it's very important to the city. I mean, but for that, the millage would be a lot higher. Yeah. And there, you know, this, for cities that don't have their own utility system, there's usually a franchise fee or a public service tax or both that, you know, where they try and do some of the same thing.
I gotcha. So, in fact, the property tax, as it's proposed, would come with the idea that if we don't do that, where else are we going to go? Where, I mean, you logically, you'd think, okay, well, then we got to raise our utility rates in order to stay at this level of performance. I mean, what are the other options?
Well, there aren't very many good ones, and unfortunately, the other option is to cut things, and it's always been hard in this community to do that. I remember particularly, you know, a few years ago we were trying to make cuts, and one of the proposed cuts was to the Lafayette Park Arts and Crafts Center. And people came out of the woodwork. They didn't want to, you know, do that. You know, there was, you know, their daughter had done it, their mother had done it, and so it ended up we didn't cut it much at all. And so that's the sort of thing that you face as a commissioner, and it's not a very easy task. Mm.
Had Brian DeLoge here a couple of weeks back, and he's talked with us about the county's efforts to, you know, straighten up and fly right. And he was rather, I thought, gleeful about saying that the county had been able to bring a budget that was balanced, and, you know, they've actually been able to maintain their good fiscal management of things. You have that perspective, or are you that tuned into what's going on with the county? And is there a disparity there, I guess?
Well, I think the county's done a good job. I mean, I think the county leadership, the staff is excellent. The commissioners are some of the best commissioners we've had in a long time as county commissioners. My frustration with the county sometime, and this comes as a former city commissioner, so you can take it as you will, is that they tend to, even though they represent everyone in the county, they tend to cater to the people in the unincorporated area. Mm-hmm. And so, in my view, again, I may be biased, the people in the unincorporated area have a very good deal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't pay city taxes. They may have a slight surcharge on utilities, but they enjoy most of the benefits that people in the city do that pay a lot more. Mm-hmm. So if you live on Lakeshore Drive, for example, you're in the county. Well, you pay a lot less in taxes than the guy who lives half a mile away does.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. In our neck of the woods, I live out on the east side of town, and you've got portions of, we'll call it the Buck Lake area, that are city, and then the rest are not. Mm-hmm. And there is a huge difference in terms of what it costs you to live even a block away from.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so in terms of managing municipalities, where do you think Tallahassee ranks, let's say, among other cities in Florida?
I think Tallahassee is very well managed. My law practice, I represent cities and counties all over the state, and so I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in terms of, you know, other local governments. Mm-hmm. And so we're very fortunate in Tallahassee. We've had a stable government. You know, we've had the same city manager for, 15 plus years, which is absolutely a rarity. And we've done a pretty good job. I mean, people around the state look to what Tallahassee's doing in terms of being sort of a gold standard, which is where we want to be.
Talking with Mark Mustian, former city commissioner from 03 to 2012. We're going to get into talking about some of his work lately with Word of South and his authorship of two novels. And so you need to stay right where you are. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Mark Mustian. He has graciously agreed to submit himself to this conversation in which we get to kind of pick at him, because now that he's completed his sentence, he served his time over a period of 9 years as a city commissioner. It seems to me, Mark, you have that rather, for us, a rather fortunate or a fortuitous position in that you really do have a one step away perspective. You can help us better appreciate where we are as a community and what it's like inside of those city chambers when you're trying to wrestle through something like, well, do we cut funding for the Lafayette Arts and Crafts Center? I mean, and yet trying to tie two strings together, and you don't have enough string, right?
Right.
And so here we are looking at what will be most likely approved upon, if it hasn't been already, 27% increase in property tax. Gerald Inslee has made his point that, come on, guys, it's 2015, and then you got guys like Ed Moore and some of these, Hugh Tomlinson, and they're blowing up Facebook with all of their criticism of it. And you sound like you're kind of in a more middle position. Would that be fair? I mean, in terms of justification?
I mean, nobody likes to pay taxes, including me, and nobody likes to see waste in government, including me. And you know, of course, there is some at every level of government. And so it's a but, you know, to, you know, some people's waste is another person's important program. And, yeah. And I will say, at least for the city we're I'm familiar with, I mean, although there's some fat, there's not near as much as people would have you believe. I mean, the overall number of city employees and the city employee ratio per population isn't much higher than it was 10 years ago. So what you have are people being asked to do more, employees. And I think we're about at the max level we can really do that.
And people, too, have pointed out with me over the years that a bunch of that property is occupied by our lovely tenants, the state of Florida. They don't pay property taxes.
No, and they pay, you know, they are on the city utility system, and so that funds some of the, you know, the carryover that's there. But, I mean, you know, not to be, you know, way too philosophical with you, but you see it at the local level of government, just like you do at the state and the national level, sort of we've borrowed ourselves into a certain prosperity, and it's you can't sustain it. I mean, we can't provide the same services that you get today out into perpetuity without raising taxes. Yeah. And so people either have to accept a lower level of service, or we got to raise taxes, or some of both. Mm. And, you know, I remember when I was on the commission, we moved the garbage service from 2 days a week to one. Mm. oh, you would have thought that the sky had fallen. I remember just blistering emails about somebody, the diapers are stinking in my garbage can because it's not being picked up, you know, you know, except, you know, once a week. Well, you know, people have kind of gotten used to it, right? Yeah. Once a week, I got to roll it to the curb. Yeah. Not that big a deal.
Yeah.
And so it's that sort of thing that, you know, that we, you know, I think we have to, you know, probably come to grips
with. So you fired back with, look, lady. And this was your wife, right?
Well, I got a lot of, you know, flaming emails. I don't remember who that was, but
make nice, or we'll make it once a month.
Yeah, well, we try and treat people fairly, but I mean, the other part, and this is, you know, again, the thing that people have a hard time grasping, you know, consolidation. You know, should we consolidate city and county? We're one of the few counties, if maybe not the only one in Florida, that has one city in it.
Why have we not done that?
You know, a combination of reasons, I think. You know, the first two rules of government are, number one is CYA, and number two is protect the turf.
Yeah.
So you know, a lot of turf on all sides of that. And the fact that, you know, and the reality is, you know, oh, we'll save all this money if we consolidate. Well, we will if we're willing to let people go and look at law enforcement. You know, I mean, we have, I think we're the only county in the state where the sheriff patrols inside the city limits as well as outside. And so clearly there's some duplication there. If you combine the forces, would we save money? If we're willing to let some officers go, yeah, we would.
Yeah.
It's a lot. If you start to dig down into it, a lot more difficult than it would seem. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I mean, I think it probably makes sense. I mean, it doesn't, you know, I don't know that we're tremendously well served with the structure we have right now.
Yeah. For you as a citizen living in Tallahassee, and you said earlier in comparison with other places around Florida, you like this town. You like the way we do things. So much so that you decided to invest further in our cultural experience, right, with Word of South. Tell us how that all got started.
Oh, it's something I wanted to do for a long time. I was, I was invited to speak at a number of literary festivals after my last novel was published, and I had never been to one before. And so, you know, I thought it was really neat, and there were a lot of people there, and everybody's reading books, and it was, you know, so I'm thinking, why couldn't we do something like this in Tallahassee? And so really, you know, it probably wouldn't have worked too well if we tried to do it while I was on the commission. But after I got off, you know, I still had the idea. And so we got a group of folks together and kind of decided, well, you know, we could have just a literary festival, but then we'd sort of be the Tallahassee version of the South Carolina Literary Festival. Mm-hmm. And so we embarked on, you know, really trying to do something different. Mm-hmm. And so out of that came Word of South, which was a festival of literature and music. And we tried to combine musicians and authors in a bunch of different and innovative ways. And so I think it was extremely successful. The inaugural festival was this past April. And despite some weather issues, I think we had very wonderful programming. We did a lot of experimental stuff that worked almost without exception.
And that was at Cascades Park,
yes,
the amphitheater.
It was.
Yeah.
And so we had authors and musicians appearing together. We had authors who were musicians. We had musicians who had written books. And so so it was really pretty neat. So we're going to do it again April 9th and 10th of 2016.
Very cool. Where do you go for the folks that participate in that as authors and or as musicians? I mean, some of them were both, and you had this inaugural event. You had J.K. Simmons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Note because of his work as an actor, and he's got the hip film now, Whiplash, right?
Right.
But he's been around. So how did you land him, or I guess how did you have connection with him?
Well, He in particular, you know, a lot of it was sort of just connections with local people. he is friends with Darko Budorak, who is the Tallahassee Symphony director. Mm-hmm. And so when we hatched this idea to do this and have the symphony perform as part of it, Darko suggested, well, why don't I ask J.K. if he'd like to read the Lincoln parts of this? And he did. Mm-hmm. We had the actor Tony Hale, who's from Tallahassee, come down, and he's written a children's book, and he signed and talked. That was great. Mm-hmm. So we did a lot of that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we tried to do some local artists also. We'd like this to be a blend of local and out-of-state folks, but really focused on it has to be at kind of a world-class level. And if it's not, then I really don't want to do it.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to your vision for this town. I mean, that's the part that I find curious. What do you hope Tallahassee will gain out of all of this?
Well, I've always thought that Tallahassee, we should do a better job of positioning ourselves as sort of the arts and culture capital of the Southeast. Huh. I mean, and playing off the strengths of Florida State. I mean, they've got a wonderful film school. They've got one of the best creative writing departments in the country. They have one of the top-rated music schools in the country. And so historically, I don't think we've done a great job of kind of capitalizing on that. And when you think of Tallahassee, you sort of think of the legislature. You don't think of arts and culture.
Or
and
a football
so,
team.
And so that's sort of, I think, our challenge to if we, you know, to maybe try and pull that off.
Somebody said recently, in fact, I want to say, I think it was Michelle Ray Winkle Vasselinda and I were talking, and we agreed that the Tallahassee's natural resource is its people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that bears evidence here in the work you're talking about. Word of South, a marvelous contribution to the landscape of the arts and cultural celebrations that we have seen, not the least of which, too, should be the Tallahassee Music Festival that I know sort of dovetailed right into Word of South. We'll talk more about that. Stay with us. We've got Mark Mustian with us on this lovely Saturday, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, folks. I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
So we're back and talking with Mark Mustian, city commissioner for many years, a contributor at many levels, and author of two novels, The Return, published by Pineapple Press, and his most recent novel, The Gendarme, which is an intriguing thing there, right? And that's Putnam Press. So you, again, you just seem to have so much time on your hands. You get bored easily, don't you? You just sit still.
The writing is all kind of just came
therapeutic.
Came about. it may have been the result of an early midlife crisis because I had been a lawyer for about 10 years, and so my wife was doing an internship down at Shands, and so I'm back and forth on I-10 a lot by myself. And so I'm thinking, all right, I've been a lawyer for 10 years. Got to be more than this. So I decided I would try and maybe run for office and maybe try and teach and write a book. And eventually I did all of those, and I taught for a couple of years, a course out at Tallahassee Community College, and that was enough to cure me of wanting to do that.
And I crossed that one off your bucket list,
and,
did
and
you?
And I ran for office, and that
done.
Was, yeah,
okay.
That was I enjoyed it, but I'm glad it's over. And so I started on this book then that ended up being The Return. I had no idea what I was doing, and it was sort of I had this naive assumption that I could just write this novel and somebody would want to buy it.
See, that's how I got this gig.
Yeah. So, well, you know, you just have to go do it.
Who decided to put this guy in front of a microphone?
Well, and my advice to people who want to write is, well, you need to sit down and do it. And then you can get better and you can, you know, hone your ability. And so I discovered I liked doing it. And so, to this day, I try and write a little bit every day. Mm. And it sort of keeps my head in it and it's fun and it's time to myself.
And in doing that writing, you're writing within this stream of producing your next novel, or do you do a lot of blogging and
most
other
part,
kinds
nah,
of things?
I don't do blogging, and I'm not very, at the times I have tried to do it, I'm not very good at it. Mm-hmm. You have to be, I think, kind of quicker and wittier than I am to do that well.
I identify with that.
But I just kind of like playing with the words and trying to come up with the concepts and that sort of thing. And so
you're a storyteller.
It's been, you know, I mean, there's a lot of freedom and creativity in doing that. You can make it go any way you want to make
it
go.
Indeed. Well, intriguing. How are book sales going?
Well, good. I mean, the gendarme is sort of at the end of its life. I was invited to speak. The book is about, it's a novel that it takes place in the Armenian genocide, and my heritage is Armenian way back. And so it wasn't a topic I knew very much about. I did a ton of research. And so this year, 2015, is the 100th anniversary of those events from 1915. Mm-hmm. And so I was invited to speak at a festival in Armenia and another one in Venice in Italy. So it's been nice to, you know, kind of have one last round of, you know, discussion, talking, reading about the book. Yeah. But I'm working on another novel now that I've almost completed. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see if maybe that gets published in the next year or two.
Yeah, hoping for that. When you think about those of our listeners particularly who hear you talk about this and you say, well, you know, maybe it was that midlife crisis sort of trigger. How do you go about making those discoveries for yourself, do you think? How do we find the hidden stuff that we didn't really even know we were capable of doing?
Well, you know, I went to this friend of mine is a girl I went to high school with, and her father, it was his retirement party. So I went to this few years ago, and I've always remembered this. When he got up to give his little retirement speech, he says, "You have no idea how fast 70 years goes by." He said, "If you want to do something, do it." Yeah. And so I've tried to take that to heart.
That was your mantra, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if you want to do something, you don't sit around, go out and try it. And then you may not like it. You may find it leads to something else, but that was great advice and I've tried to take it.
So you're saying, come on, man, just go for it. Whatever it is you want to run that marathon, get started today. Go
right.
Do it. Yeah. When you fail, and I mean, all of us have failures in life, right? What do you do next?
Well, to some extent, you pick yourself up and keep going. I mean, writing, and for those people who want to write and be published, I mean, it's an enormously frustrating operation. Yeah. And, you know, there's so much rejection involved in it. I mean, the first novel, The Return, that I wrote, you know, I tried to get an agent for, years. And, you know, and you get this, you know, even though I prepared myself mentally for, you know, the rejection slips, when they start to get, you know, inches high, you start thinking, well, maybe I'm just not that good.
Outnumber the pages in the book.
Well, yeah. But fortunately, I just kind of kept going. I have writer friends. I have this one lady in particular who I think wrote 6 failed novels before she ever got one published.
Wow.
And so that's a lot of perseverance there. And a lot of overcoming rejection. And so, but if you love it, if it's what you want to do, then you do it.
Just go for it. So part of our secret to success here is to be among those who are like-minded, perhaps, or to be a part of a kind of supportive group or network of folks. Is that? Is
yeah,
that
I mean that. Well, that
the...
that's certainly been helpful to me. I mean, we had a little writers group that we get together occasionally here in Tallahassee, and you know, tell stories and lies and have a few beers, and it's helpful just to hear other people's perspectives because you think you're the only one that can't get an agent or can't do this, and they're like, no, yeah, that's like yeah, it. I've been years trying to, and so so it's a very helpful thing.
We're talking with Mark Mustian, who. If there are those in our community who have a perspective that we ought to hear, it seems to me Mark is one of those, primarily because of the breadth and the depth of his involvement, having served as a city commissioner for 9 years, an able published author, someone who has been practicing law here in the community. It was 10 years when you decided to do something more. How long have you been in law then?
30 years.
30 years. Yeah. So here you go. And then mm-hmm. like you needed a hobby, you decided to put Word of South on the map and express then what has been in your head. Were you pleased then with the outcome? You think Word of South was worth all the blood, sweat, and tears?
Well, I do. I mean, it was, you know, it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. The two biggest challenges for us were, you know, how do we keep it going, and what do we do if it rains? Well, we've been through number two because it rained all weekend. And if you had told me, well, yeah, there's going to be three lightning episodes where people have to leave the park and it would still be a success, I'm not sure I would have believed you. But we, you know, I think it was great. The product was good. People that saw it loved it. The artists loved it. And so I think we want to do it again and make it better and keep it going.
Looking forward to it. Our good friend Mark Mustian, thank you, sir, for sharing with us. We hope to have you back not too far out. We want to keep in touch with you, make sure that you're, you know, doing your daily contribution to that next novel. I'll keep tabs on you that way, and invite you to be a part of this show anytime you have something you'd like to share with us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Look forward to it. Folks, that's what we have for you.
We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio right here in Tallahassee. Moose Magnificat, the sound of Tallahassee. You'll find us at moosemagnificat.com, playing all local musicians, their original songs, all the time. That is Moose Magnificat. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town, kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just Tasty Pastry Good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? Yeah, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.